three verses from three different parts. I'm going to begin by reading one verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, familiar verse. Then I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians 2, and then 2 Corinthians 5. I begin with that familiar verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I want you to notice two words, in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Let me read that again. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And then turn a page to the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I would like to use that as my text today, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You might notice that common thread in all three of those verses. They're important that we be in Christ. John 3:16 has been noted as the golden text of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The verse that I've just read from 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 is not the gospel in the nutshell, but it's the Christian life in the nutshell. How to live. What took place when we got saved. What transpired in our hearts and in our lives. Think about it, if you will, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, that we learned about in the Sunday school this morning. He loves sinful man. He loves you and me so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Aren't you glad? He gave Jesus to die in our place, poured out his life's blood on Calvary's cross. And if those that would be saved, those that are saved in Christ, thank God, thank God. First of all, we see the love of God, but we find this, that when we got saved, when the Lord came into our hearts, he forgave us and gave us eternal life. Thank God for eternal life today. Yes. Yes. I mentioned how that Caroline's going to be 88. Carl was 88 Friday. And Joyce is getting up there at her birthday. We'll be soon, but we had the birthday party yesterday. And how they told us going to be 96 next month. And each of us are growing older. But I want you to know something. When we got saved, we were forgiven and given eternal life. He that has life, the Lord, if the Lord is in our hearts and eyes, he's the resurrection of life. We shall never die. You said, but Brother Jones, good people die and go to the graves. I'm talking about something better than that. I'm talking about going to the, with the Lord, eternal life. Thank God, thank God. Today's scripture tells us what happens when a person commits his life to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. First of all, it says, all things are passed away. I want to make something clear. All things. The results of the old man, the results of the Adam nature, the results of the uncircumcised heart, the results of the stiff-necked man, the results of that X in the circle, all of this done away with. Amen. When you got saved. Amen. Forgiven. Washed away. Forgotten. Cast behind his back. Into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us anymore. Every sin that we ever committed, having been brought forth by the sin nature within our hearts, I want you to know it's all been washed away. Gone forever. Now somebody ought to be able to say amen out loud. Amen. We used to sing a song. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea, yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. I know some people that have not forgotten them. I know some people that could not believe that I would be changed as I was. But I want you to know that God has forgotten them. They're forgiven. And they're gone. And he said in that first part, all things have passed away. And I say, thank God. When Paul wrote those words, he didn't have in mind some theory, some creed of man. Paul had experienced it himself when he was on the road to Damascus that day and the Lord met him there. He had experienced this very thing that he's writing about. Let me say this, and I heard a man say that a man got saved in our services years and years ago. And he said these words sometime later on. He became a preacher. He said the man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man that has a theory. This thing is real. Thank God, thank God. All things are passed away. And then he goes on to say, behold, all things are new. Earlier, as a religious Pharisee, as a zealot, Paul was out to destroy the early church. He thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was doing the right thing. People were leaving Judaism with all the ceremonial and ritual laws, and they were accepting Christ as Savior. And Paul thought that they had missed the boat, and that he was able to determine to help God out. And so he was out to destroy the young church and to imprison those they claimed to be Christians. He thought they'd been deceived. He thought they had swallowed a lie. He thought the devil had deceived them, and so he was helping God out. Until God did a work in his heart. And when God did a work in Paul's heart, it changed altogether. Make this, keep this in your mind. From the day that Paul got saved, he was such a changed man that he dedicated himself to preaching the gospel the rest of his life. To winning the lost the rest of his life. To building the kingdom for the rest of his life. He was set out and determined in his life. He was going to be a lawyer. He had in his mind his goal was to be on the Sanhedrin board. I'm going to be like my tutor, Gamaliel. I'm going to be a lawyer that is well known in Jerusalem. But when God saved him, it changed everything. Let me say this to everyone here. If it didn't change everything, maybe you need to go back to the altar. God changes. Amen. Amen, amen. All things are passed away. I just made a statement and I'll make it again. That is an absolute necessity. It's an absolute certainty. The Christian life is a changed life. We sing the chorus, I've been changed. I've been newborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made in my life when Jesus came and stayed in my heart. Oh yes, I've been changed. I was praying in the altar with a preacher, with the church folks, but I was praying near another preacher. In fact, he and I started together in that church. And I mean that we founded the church together. I would preach one service, he'd preach the next for a year. Got the church started, and then I had to go on something else, and he stayed there till he died. Built a new church, and God blessed him abundantly. But I heard him praying in the altar. And it sort of surprised me. This is what he was saying. He was a countryman. He was a farmer out of East Oklahoma. And God had called him to preach, and he sold his farm and went to preach. Came to Arizona and took a church and began to preach. Then we started a new church. He preached. This is what he said. God rearranged the furniture in my heart. I've never heard that expression in my life. He was really saying, God, if there's anything out of place, put it in place. If there's anything that's displeasing to you, Lord, fix it.
Amen.
If there's something I'm doing I ought to do, not do, God, reveal it. Put it all in place. I want to please you, God. And when he used that phrase, rearrange the furniture of my heart, that has sort of stayed with me. And I'm saying today, in your life and in mine, if some of that furniture needs to be moved, God will rearrange it. You know what? You know the reason, and I'm just speaking for my wife and I right now. You know the reason why we don't rearrange our furniture very often. There are probably a lot of reasons. One is we like it where it is. Secondly, I don't like to move a piano and a couch and all that kind of stuff. I just like it like it is.
especially when it gets dark.
Yes.
I know which exactly where everything is, and I can with it's dark, I can get around. And I've heard some men come home or come home late at night, and mama has rearranged the furniture, and they stumble over everything.
Amen.
Ladies, that's bad for your back. Don't do it. I'm going to tell you something today. This is important for all of us. If there's something in your heart, get it taken care of today.
Yes.
Don't let it fester. Don't let it just lie there and be a bother to you the rest of your life. Lay it aside.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rearrange the furniture of my heart, oh God. Brother Lyons was praying that day. Behold, all things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Thank God for the new life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I jotted down some things. When I came to that part of Scripture, I'm glad they changed us. Behold, all things now have become new. And it's no wonder when people get saved. It's no wonder when people get up from the altar or when they're praying that God begins to bless them and they're saved. It's no wonder that people begin to sing or to begin to cry or to begin to rejoice. Have you ever seen it? So oftentimes when you say they like to hurt somebody. Did anybody ever hug you when they got saved?
Right.
Did you hug someone?
Right.
Many of us did. No wonder. Last Sunday night right here. She's in the nursery now. Abby was in the altar. People and ladies were praying with her.
Yes.
Ain't for a while. She was with her head down, praying, crying.
Yes.
God spoke to me to get up. I came around and said, Abby. She's crying and she prayed. I said, stand up and lift up your hands and thank God for what he's done.
Yes.
She stood up, lifted up with her hands. I said, worshiping God. And I was over there praying. And when I looked the next time, she was hugging George Neff. I don't know how long she held on. She was hugging and hugging and hugging. That's all right.
Amen.
No wonder people feel that way.
Yes.
Because when God comes along and forgives sins, he gives us a new life. A new life in Christ. You want to tell somebody. You want to hurt somebody. Amen, amen. It's a joy in serving God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Listen, if you will, although the old has been removed, that doesn't mean that a person is left now empty. The two phrases in the 17th verse that I read, all things are passed away, but behold, all things are become new. Complete picture of the Christian, the man that is in Christ. Think about it, if you will. The old is gone to make way for the new. I judge some things now. The man saved by grace is given a new start in life. It's the beginning of a new life with a believer traveling a new road. Having a new purpose for living, a new outlook on life, and he's promised a new destination. Thank God. We're studying the book of Revelation, and I'm saying today that when a man gets saved, we have a new destination in life, and that is the pearly white city, the new Jerusalem, God, a giant soul coming down from God out of heaven. Hallelujah. Do you intend to go there? Amen, amen, amen. Did you know when you got saved, you were immediately on your way to that new Jerusalem? Amen. This is something to shout about. I don't mean you've got to get up and run down the aisle, but it's something to rejoice about. If you're saved this morning, it is something to be happy about. Happy, how happy is that people whose God is the Lord, the psalmist said. Happy, how happy. When Jesus was giving the Beatitudes, blessed is the man that does this. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know what it means? Happy. The word blessed means happy. Happy is the man that is a peacemaker, that lives right and all the rest.
Amen.
I'm glad you can be happy in the Lord.
Happy in the Lord.
Even when you might be suffering in your body, there's joy in serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Behold, all things are made new. New destination. Listen to the testimony of Paul. I'm going to turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I'm going to read from verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ,
the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul said, all of those things that I thought were important in life, I have now found something better. I have found something 1,000 times better. Hallelujah. He wasn't upset. He wasn't disappointed at his plans and life being changed when he met the Lord out there in the Damascus Road and he got saved. He was not downhearted. He was not disappointed now that his plans had been turned around and his life's plans was no longer the same. He said, I counted all of that as less than nothing. I found something a whole lot better. I'm on my way to glory. Hallelujah. I've been saved by the grace of God. My life has been turned around. I've got something better to live for. Listen closely. Whatever your plans were, when Jesus came in, He gave you something better. Thank God. Thank God. Well, God is good. Let me tell you, just came to my mind right then. I'll tell you how good God is. My wife and I got married in 1954, and until 1959, we never owned a home except a house trailer. 1958, God called me to preach. And from 1958 until 1979, we still didn't own a home. Never owned a home except a house trailer. We decided, church was going and God was blessing and we were thrilled. We were going to get a home and we went to look, and when we went to Ivy Farms and saw a sign, my wife said, let's go there. I said, honey, we can't afford that. We can't afford that house. She said, it won't hurt to look. Now that's what the wife said. But we bought it. I didn't have any money. $1,000. I told you the story. That's all I had. But God worked it all out.
Amen.
And in 16 years, the entire thing was paid off on the salary of a holy preacher.
Huh.
I'm going to tell you something. There's a big God in the heavens.
Yes,
He is. He'll stretch your money to a place where you can't even imagine where it came from.
That's right.
You obey God and serve God, He'll bless you and bless you and bless you. And I'm saying that for the sake of everyone here. I'm a living example. Not because I'm anything special, because I am not. I'm just as you are. God saved the same way you got saved. But I want you to know, if you'll serve God with all of your heart,
yes,
He'll do things that you never thought He'd ever want to do.
Exactly.
He'll bless you in ways that you never expected.
Exactly.
He's a good God.
Yes, He is.
Amen. The Bible says, and all things became new. God gave us a new home. God bless us abundantly and keeps on blessing. Amen. What a good God we're serving today. All things are new. Let me tell you something. I had friends in the service and we made up our minds. We're going to meet together when we retire and we're going to really have a good time. When I got saved, those friends dropped me like a hot potato.
That's right.
God gave me better friends.
Amen.
And He keeps on giving better friends.
That's right.
Let me tell you something with you. God will not let you down. You keep on blessing and keep on blessing. Keep on ministering and keep on doing good things in your life. Hallelujah. For the Christian, I jotted this down as well. In my mind, I jotted some things down. It's not so much who we know. I know that's the vernacular of a lot of people. If you know somebody, you can get this job. It's not so much who we know that counts as much who knows us. It's not how much we get in life, but how much God blesses us and we are able to give. It's not how popular we are with the world, but how much power we have with the Almighty God. It's not what we have accomplished in life, but how faithful we are to our daily living with the Almighty. It's not how well we might speak, but how fervent we are in our prayer lives. It's not how many places we've been privileged to see or to visit, but it's the place where we're going. Brother, I know where I'm going. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to the city where the Lamb is alight. We had a trio come to our church years ago in Glendale, Arizona. They were singing the song, I'm bound for that city, that pearly white city. I'll never turn back under this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how walked I shot the prey,
I'm bound for that city on the Evergreen Shore. The man that was in charge of that trio was Pappy Gaines, a song leader out of Oklahoma. I want you to know I'm bound for that city. I'm bound for that city. I made up my mind I'm going to that land. All because old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And finally, I'd like to mention some of Paul's words, if you still have your Bibles open. In that fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read the first six words of the next verse, the 18th verse. And all things are of God. Let me read the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then he says, and all things are of God. All things pertaining to our salvation. All things pertaining to our changed lives for the good. All things that help us to live a life of victory. All things are of God. The Bible makes it clear, and I'm going to try my best to make it clear as I possibly can. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. Without Him, we have nothing. When we went to look at that house, we had $1,000, 1979. I was 48 years old. I'd already been in the ministry 20 years. Then we'd put all of our, whatever we made back into the church. Had $1,000 is all. But God's left me to know, if I'll serve Him, all things are of God.
Amen. Amen.
You're serving, you're living for victory. Your daily living, all is of God. Mark this down. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. And without Him, we have nothing. But with Him, we have all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible says our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is a joint heir to the fold. Amen. To the Father. He's a joint heir, and we're joint heirs together. He's the heir, and we're the joint heirs with Him. Let me say that again. Jesus is the heir, and we're joint heirs. What's His is ours. Not only do we have a home on 82 Henry Clay, we've got a mansion on the other side.
Amen.
You can have that home when the 35 is yours.
That's right. Amen.
I have a home on the other side. What are you saying, preacher? If you serve God, living for God, all the blessings of God, they're all of God.
That's right.
Some people say, well, Brother Jones, this person gave you something else. He blessed you this way. This person blessed you this way. It's all from God.
God.
All things are of God. Only your Christian experience in serving the Lord. Your victory is of God. Not because you're an orator, not because you have intellect, not because you have ability, not because you have talent, it's because of God.
That's right.
All things are of God. Jesus said in the 16th chapter of Matthew, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me share this with you. The church is of God. John said all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All creation is of God. In that same chapter, John says of the redeemed saints, we were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are the handiwork of God. You and I are the handiwork of God. America has slain 53 or 52 million babies since they passed the Roe versus Wade. But I'm here to tell you that God loves children. God loves you. We are all precious in the sight of God. And it's all of God. All of God. One time the Sanhedrin was against Peter and the other apostles, and the Bible says Gamaliel stood up. And I'm going to paraphrase. He said, wait a minute. Be careful. Don't put your hand upon these men. If it's of God what they're doing, you better not try to stop it.
Right.
If it's not of God, it'll come to naught.
That's right.
It'll fizzle out.
Right.
It'll be gone.
Right.
But if it's of God, it's going to last. It's going to make it.
Right.
Let me leave something with you. I'm going to preach along that line tonight. If God's in it, you don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
You can pray and trust God.
Amen.
And it's going to work out.
Lord.
All things are of God. I've just got some things to list and we're going to pray. There's some things that I hope we'll understand. Some people have the feeling that, why has God forsaken me?
I would love to have you with me just maybe a week.
No, I wouldn't. You wouldn't be. I was thinking of you, not of me. I'd like for you to know the phone calls that I get every week. And listen to the stories. People that need help with their utilities and with their mortgage and with food and with this, whatever it might be. And they have some of the saddest stories.
Yes.
And I'm confident some of them are real. And this church has reached out and helped many, many, many. And there's so many out there that are taking advantage of the goodness of a church.
Yes.
That they'll come up with a sad story.
Oh, yes.
And we've been told, there's a group on in the Tidewater area, been told if anyone calls and you're not sure of it, give them a list of these places that they can call that are set up to help. The Food Bank and United Way and Salvation Army and the rest. But I've listened to some stories that break your heart. And I've listened to some stories that I was almost confident in the beginning that they'll try, after they get something from me, they'll go get something from them and them and them. And I've seen that all my life, but I don't want to get hard, and I want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And the reason I've said all of that is, we are living in a hurting world.
Yes, we are.
There are people out there that, there's no jobs that pays anything.
Right.
Bless you, people, bless you, God's been good to you.
Yes.
There are thousands out there that have, just don't know how they're going to make it.
Right.
Oftentimes I ask the question, do you have a church? Most of the time they don't have, and sometimes I've asked them, and I didn't mean to put them on the spot or embarrass them. I've asked the pastor's name. They can't remember that.
Uh-huh.
If they can't remember the pastor's name, they must not have been there very often.
Amen.
I've asked those, has your church helped you? Well, our church is small, and a lot, and I'm not here. I hope, don't ever get to the place where you don't want to help anyone. Have your hand out to help those that God will help reach out.
That's right.
That's why we have such a mission program. We give money to missions, 12 different ministries every month. God bless us. We've already given $48,000 this year to missions out of this small church. God's been good.
Amen.
We're not stingy. Let me say something, folks. We're living in a perilous hour.
Yes.
We're living in a hard time in the lives of many. But if you serve God, God will take care. I believe that with all of my heart. God, you serve Him with everything you've got. Give Him what He says, give Him that. Live the way you ought to live. God will take care.
Yes, He will.
Camille stood up and said, if it's of God, it's going to make it with whatever you do. All things of God. Let me read some thoughts today. 2 Corinthians 3:5, our sufficiency is of God. Our grace is of God. Our mercy is of God. Our provisions are from God. Our sentence are from God. Our God will take care of us. From Philippians 3:9, our righteousness is of God. From 1 Corinthians 6:19, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is of God. Hebrews 5:4, our calling is of God. Titus 2:13, our hope of eternity, our hope of heaven is of God. Let me leave you with it today. All things are of God. He is our reason for living. When I say that, and my wife is from the piano, when I say that, everything that's been hooked to your salvation, you'll make it to heaven. Everything out there is not of God. A lot of it's of the devil.
Yeah.
Everything having to do with you making it to heaven is of God.
Yeah.
You being having the victory is of God. He's my reason for living.
Amen.
I heard a preacher preach. He gave his testimony. He said, I've made a mistake. I've given my life to the church and lost my family. He said, I prayed for people, went to the houses and prayed for the people while my own children were being lost under my own roof.
Amen.
He said something like this, and I was a young preacher. He said, when you go to pray, pray for your family.
Yes.
Put your family. Put God first.
Yes.
Put your family.
Right.
And then the church.
That's right.
What has a man gained if he wins somebody else's children and loses his own?
Amen.
Pray for your family. You might feel like, Brother Jones, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Nothing's happened. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. All things are of God. We're going to sing, He is my everything. He is my everything. He is my all. I don't know the number. It said 40-something. Get your course books out. He is my everything. It's in there for sure. How much? 24. 24 in the course book. Get your course book and stand with me.